Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. We are gathered this morning to worship Almighty God, whose purposes are good, whose power sustains the world he has made, who loves us, though we have failed in his service, who gave Jesus Christ for the life of the world, and who by his Holy Spirit leads us in his way. As we give thanks for his great works, we remember those who have lived and died in his service and in the service of others. We pray for all who suffer through war and are in need. We ask for his help and blessing that we may do his will, and that the whole world may acknowledge him as Lord and King. Let us pray. Blessed are you, sovereign God, ruler and judge of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In the darkness of the age that is passing away, may the glory of your kingdom surround our steps as we journey on. May we reflect the light of your glory this day, and so be made ready to come into your presence. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
And we say together, Most merciful Father, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is taken from Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And so we turn to our psalm, Psalm 16, and we begin by saying together, Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom all is my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Give to us, Lord Christ, the fullness of grace, your presence and your very self. For you alone are our portion and our delight, now and forever.
Second reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, 1 to 8. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deliver many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Sometimes it is hard to find a path through troubling times. There's so much to be troubled about. The catastrophic predictions about our climate, our abuse of the earth, the terrible plight of the people of Afghanistan, the continued COVID crisis. The list is endless. Today, as we remember the men and women who have lost their lives in conflict, we are reminded of the desperate struggles of the past. And our remembrance, worthy and worthwhile though it is, seems to have done very little to bring change or lasting peace or to alleviate the problems of the present or the future. And there are the personal troubles, ill health, financial worries, the loss of someone dear, the loss of a person of faith, the loss of a person we love. When facing such real difficulties, we often flounder. In our gospel reading today, Mark describes Jesus leaving the temple, standing in the temple courtyard, just after he has asked his disciples to pay close attention to a widow giving her last two coins to the temple treasury. One of his disciples is clearly in awe of his surroundings. "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful surroundings." And quite rightly so. The historian Josephus, writing in the first century, records that the temple was awe-inspiring. It was built under the instructions of Herod the Great. The retaining walls were composed of stones 40 feet long. It occupied a platform twice as large as the Roman Forum, and four times as large as the Acropolis in Athens. Herod is said to have used so much gold to cover the outside walls that anyone who looked at them when the sun was shining brightly risked being blinded. No wonder the disciple was impressed. Who wouldn't be? But Jesus wasn't impressed at all. "Do you see these great buildings?" he asks the disciple. Well, of course he does. He's just spoken about them. But the disciple and Jesus are seeing completely different things. The disciple sees a magnificent building, a building that completely and utterly symbolizes God's presence with his people, strong, bold, magnificent, and awe-inspiring. But Jesus sees something different. He sees ruin, destruction, decay. There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. I imagine the disciple was stunned when he heard Jesus' words. But we've all seen it, haven't we? Maybe not in person, but on the television or in films. Cities destroyed and razed to the ground after war. Monuments and statues, symbols of national pride and displays of strength, toppled into the dust. Things that seemed permanent and indestructible reduced to nothing. This passage from Mark is described as apocalyptic. I don't know what images spring to mind when you hear the word. Global interplanetary warfare, the four horsemen, nuclear destruction, or the terrible fires that swept through California and Australia earlier last year. Actually, the word apocalypse means unveiling or uncovering. It is to reveal something secret and hidden, to gain fresh insight, to understand something that has been a complete mystery. Jesus invites his disciples to see something differently. He invites them to look beyond the grandeur of the temple and to see that God is so much greater. God cannot and will not be confined to a house of stone. He is not impressed with the newest and the shiniest and the biggest, but sadly we are. Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. Jesus and his disciples move from the temple courts to the Mount of Olives, overlooking the temple. Jesus teaches them what to do when faced with apocalyptic chaos. Don't be alarmed, he says. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. When the truth is shaken, don't be alarmed. When people come along and spread fear, distrust, suspicion, and hatred, don't be alarmed. Don't give in and make hasty judgments based on fear and prejudice. Don't be alarmed. See what's really happening. Be perceptive, not pious. Seek peace and pursue it. Choose hope again and again and again. Be patient, and above all, love as Jesus loved, radically, sacrificially, and unconditionally. To hear the news at the moment is emotionally and spiritually exhausting. To bear the loss of one of our members is for us emotionally and spiritually draining. It's easy to despair, to flounder, to grow numb, to feel bewildered by it all, and to be too exhausted to fight it any longer. And that is why it is so important, when we feel the grimness of life crashing in and overwhelming us, that we need to respond with resilient, healing love. It is now, at this moment, when things appear to be so desperate, that we need to hold on tight, hold on to one another, and hold on to God. And as we hold on, trusting God, hearing his words, do not be alarmed. The veil will part and the hidden will be revealed. What we are seeing, Jesus promises at the end of this passage, is not all that is happening. It may look as though death and destruction are all around us, but despite what it looks like, this is not death, but birth. This pain and this darkness are the birth pangs, and birth pangs hurt a lot. But God is our midwife, and what God births will never end up with death, but with life, resurrection life, and love and hope. Sorrow will depart, giving birth to joy. Let's hang on to one another and hang on to God. Amen.
Now to the act of remembrance. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Almighty Father, we remember before you those who sacrificed their lives in the struggle for freedom. We pray that justice and peace for which they fought may be established among families of the nations. We ask this in him who taught us to pray for the coming of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray for the peace of the world, for leaders of nations, that they may have the courage to know and wisdom to do what is right, for all who work to improve international relationships, that they may find the true way to bring harmony and reconciliation to all people, and for men and women the world over, that they may know justice and freedom and live in security and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Most gracious God and Father, in whose will is our peace, turn our hearts and the hearts of all people to yourself, that by the power of your Spirit, the peace which is founded on righteousness may be established throughout the whole world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for all who suffer as a result of war, for the injured and the disabled, for the mentally distressed, and for those whose faith in God or man has been weakened or destroyed, for the homeless and refugees, for those who are hungry, and for all who have lost their livelihood and security, for those who mourn their dead, for those who have lost husband or wife, children or parents, and especially for those who have no hope in Christ to sustain them in their grief. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, infinite in wisdom, love, and power, have compassion on those for whom we pray and help us to use all suffering in the cause of your kingdom, through him who gave himself for us upon the cross. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pledge ourselves anew to the service of God and our fellow men and women. May we help, encourage, and comfort others and support those working for the relief of those in need and for the peace and welfare of the nations.
Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all people in the cause of peace. for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen us to walk with him in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
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 Thank you very much for your company this morning. I hope you have a blessed day. All notices about coffee mornings and Bible studies are at the end of the service sheet. And I'm just going to leave now and look forward to seeing you next week. God go with you, my friends. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.